Spencer Tire and Auto has three locations to serve you in Delwood, Wentzville, and Afton. Check them out online at SpencerTire.com.
If you haven't checked out Lady Jane's Haircuts for Men in Sunset Hills, you are missing out. It's like a sports bar for your head. Get a precision haircut, hot leather neck shave, and hot towel treatment for just $14 on Lindbergh Boulevard, just off the Watson Road, next to St. Louis Bread Co. Lady Jane's has won double-digit men's styling awards, and our talented stylists are delivering the best haircuts in St. Louis. In Sunset Hills, on Lindbergh Boulevard, just off the Watson Road, next to St. Louis Bread Co. Lady Jane's, it's wicked awesome.
St. Louis just got stronger with the opening of our 25th Club Fitness location in O'Fallon, Illinois, 1234 Central Park Drive. Don't miss our grand opening celebrations on Tuesday, October 22nd at both our Alton and O'Fallon, Illinois locations. Join for just one penny and get started to a happier, healthier you. Mark your calendars for October 22nd to enjoy food, fun, prizes, and one-day-only savings. Lift local at Alton and O'Fallon, Illinois with one penny. It's all you need to join the Club Fitness family.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby.
Yeah, let's go.
Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Got myself a treat last night while I watched a movie. I'll tell you all about that and talk about a couple other things that are on TV or at the movie theaters. We're going to do that with Dan Buffa, who's brought to you by Window World, number one selling replacement window in the United States, and hopefully beyond just this year, they'll be able to say preferred window of the Stanley Cup champion, St. Louis Blues. You can find out more at windowworldstlouis.com. Ladies and gentlemen, and your input is always welcome. I get emails from people suggesting things that I should watch. If it weren't for listeners, I would never have watched Breaking Bad. I would never have watched Banshee. And a handful of other things, a dozen at least, that I never would have bothered to watch if listeners hadn't said, I think you really like this. So if you have some input, 855-282-8255 or 314-821-0590. Say hello to Dan Buffa. Oh, Dan, I think we're doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I have a couple, we're talking about some sequels today. Sequels and some TV as well. Good old mixture for the entertainment crowd.
As it's right, so can I start and just tell you what I have?
Well, of course you can.
I just got an email, in fact, this morning from a listener that said I should watch, and I think it's on Amazon. It's either Amazon or Netflix. I think Amazon. All the Queen's Horses. Do you know about this?
I don't know about All the Queen's Horses. I wonder who stars in it. Any names?
No, he just said it's based on a true story of a woman, I think he said was in Dixon, Illinois, who embezzled like $50 million out of some, yeah. And he said it's really, really good.
Oh, this isn't just good.
Documentary.
This was a story that was featured on American Greed, and which is narrated by Stacey Keach, and they did a whole hour-long expose on this thing, Frank. This woman was a Central Illinois, essentially she was the treasurer of the town, and she embezzled so many millions of dollars that she didn't know what to do with the money, so she went and bought prize racehorses with them.
$50 million. Yeah.
You know what? I remember this story. I remember this one was in the news. Yeah. I do remember this.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Wow.
Dixon, Illinois.
Yeah.
Is she in prison now, I would think?
I had to look it up.
Rita Crudwell? Crunwell is her name?
No, I think it's Amazon. It's All the Queen's... Okay, yes. That explains the title. I didn't understand the title, All the Queen's Horses. Now I do.
Frank, it's a line from Humpty Dumpty. Mm-hmm.
No, yeah. That's the King's. All the King's Horses and All the King's Men.
Frank, idiot. I'm telling you, it is from idiot. Humpty Dumpty.
It is on Amazon, and idiot. It is for free. It is a free watch on Amazon with your Amazon Prime subscription. So yeah,
you know what? They may have to change that Humpty Dumpty thing though to make all the transgender people. All the why would just a king have horses?
There
why don't
we
you
go.
Just make it? Yeah. Oh
you're
yeah.
You're right.
That wouldn't surprise
all
me.
The
now the other
horses.
Here are two other things that I've seen that I really really liked, and this was an accident last night on Hulu. For those of you who have Hulu, sometimes I think it's worth subscribing for just one great show, because they all have these introductory, you know, try for 30-day things.
Oh,
this
yeah,
is called.
There's always a good show on there.
This is called Untouchable. And it is a documentary, and Ronan Farrow, the guy who blew the lid off of this Harvey Weinstein thing, is interviewed on it. It is absolutely fantastic. If you thought you knew what a dirtbag Harvey Weinstein is, you have no idea. And they interview multiple women, and they show video clips of all of these well-known famous people praising Harvey Weinstein. Everybody from John Travolta to Meryl Streep, and they're up at award shows going, "Oh my, Harvey Weinstein, you're the greatest. We love you, Harvey Weinstein." And all those people now have to feel like crap because there's no way that they all didn't know what this guy was all about. And then you start to wonder, how many of these big female stars who get a well, and they hold the award and they go, "I just want to thank Miramax Pictures and I want to thank Harvey Weinstein. Harvey, I love you. You're the greatest." You can't help but wonder, what did you do? What did he make you do? And what's really interesting too is for anybody who wants to think that, well, you know, any woman who doesn't scream or fight, she deserves what she got, or she shouldn't get any compensation. You start to understand the fear and the horror that the Harvey Weinstein is a big, fat, ugly guy. He's one of the women in the documentary says that he's disgusting. Yet she allowed him to abuse her because she was, one, at the moment, she feared for her life. He's big. And yeah. Apparently, he would go into a rage if a woman said, "I'm out of here." They were scared. They were also afraid that this would mean the end, not only of my career, but that he, because he was very powerful.
He was. Back in the 90s, he was really powerful.
Would put the word out that she's a whore or make up something, and people would tend to believe him. So they were petrified of this guy. And it's just, it's called untouchable, meaning that for so long, this guy, all he did was write checks to shut women up. Check after check after check. Here's a quarter of a million. Here's blah, blah, blah. Sign this. And he had attorneys. And buddy, they had a watertight iron. They show some of the verbiage in these non-disclosure agreements. He thinks of everything. In one of them, his attorney wrote, "Not only will you never discuss or name Harvey Weinstein, da da da, but if you require therapy and you go to a therapist and in that session you mention Harvey, if that therapist ever lets it get out of that office or that clinic or whatever you want to call it, you will be sued and you will be in violation of this agreement." I mean, this guy covered every possible way that somebody could get to him. He's beyond despicable. Oh, yeah. And isn't he not still at home or something? Yeah, still not in jail.
Yeah, I mean, there was one of the best stories I've heard was when Gwyneth Paltrow, who was one of the victims, at the premiere of one of her movies, Brad Pitt, who was dating Gwyneth Paltrow at the time, went up to Harvey Weinstein and threatened him to beat him up. And perhaps that kind of helped Gwyneth score some roles, because he had a good old Missouri boy getting threatening to beat you up. And I think back then, that was when Brad Pitt was a little bit new. He was a little bit crazy. So I think that scared Harvey. So thankfully, she got to be in Shakespeare in Love. That's what she won an Oscar for. That was a Harvey Weinstein Miramax movie. That was the big company back then.
Miramax. Oh, no, they showed all the movies. This Miramax was
Pulp Fiction,
and here's the deal. Harvey Weinstein is and was a really talented guy when it came to picking the right movies to produce.
Sure, yeah.
He had a really
great
good
producer.
Sense of what would be a good movie. But at the same time, I mean,
he's
really,
an animal.
It's called Untouchable. And here's the last one I have, and I just saw this last night. It's a limited release. It's at the Tivoli in St. Louis. You might be able to stream it now. I don't know. And I think, Dan, I think you talked about this, the Peanut Butter Falcon.
Oh,
in fact, I'm sure you
did.
That's
my favorite movie of the year so far.
Let me tell you something, folks. This movie is absolutely fantastic. And the Peanut Butter Falcon stars a guy named Zach, Buffett, does he? And I say Dan, so the other Dan will think of his. You pronounce it Gottsagen?
I think it's Gottsagen is what the directors pronounced it. They said Zach Gottsagen, who they met at some kind of an actor's workshop for young men and women with Down syndrome. So that's how they met this guy.
Zach Gottsagen has Down syndrome, and he's the star of this movie, and he is absolutely fantastic. And don't think you sort of know what to expect, because you don't. And it's also really a tremendous performance by Shia LaBeouf. I mean, and by Dakota Johnson and Bruce Dern. It's got some big names in it, even though it's like an independent film.
Yeah.
And let me just tell people, I hope they'll be interested enough to go see it, because we need to learn as much as we can without having somebody in our family with Down syndrome. We need to learn about people with Down syndrome. We need to learn more about people who have autism. We need to be more enlightened and aware,
you know,
and understand them and what they're capable of. So essentially, he's a kid in a facility, as a lot of Down syndrome people sadly are. They're in a nursing home. They're in there with old people who are vegetating. It's just a disgusting, horrible place. And he wants out. He wants out. He's got dreams and aspirations. He wants to be a wrestler. He's a real strong kid.
He tries to break out a couple times.
And he's a strong kid who wants to be a wrestler. And he escapes from this place and meets, on the run, on the lam, Shia LaBeouf. And he's also sort of on the lam, and they become buddies. And that's all you need to know. And it is great. It just is. It's called Peanut Butter Falcon. And the reason for the name is that's the name he chose for himself to be his professional wrestling name, was the Peanut Butter Falcon. And it is a great movie.
And there's real wrestlers. That is the great Jake the Snake Roberts towards the end.
He's
in
awesome.
It. He looks like a zombie in this movie.
He's like,
hey kid, you want to be a wrestler? He flips this poor kid around, and I want to say,
hey, who's the guy who played Redneck, whatever his name was?
Thomas Hayden Church, very good actor.
That's who I thought it was. He's been in a lot of good stuff.
Yeah,
folks, this movie is just, if you go to this and don't enjoy it, something's wrong with you.
Yeah, and it's two writer-directors. They told me it took a long time to make this movie. And Shia was in, John Bernthal's got a very small role in the film, and that was because Shia, they're friends, and he just called John up and said, hey, want to be in this movie? And it was one day. That's the kind of movie it was. This is the epitome of an independent film.
What was one day?
When John Bernthal, who played...
Oh, they made the deal in one day?
Yeah, Shia called him and said, hey, we need you to be in this movie, and John just did it. I mean, that's the kind of movie it is. Everybody just wanted to be a part of this movie. And there's a really good part in there, Frank. Maybe you remember this, when he talks to him about good guy and bad guys. That's probably one of my favorite scenes, where Zach and Shia, their characters, are discussing what Zach's character refers to as a good guy and a bad guy. That's one of the best parts of the movie, just the dialogue-driven part. It's so well done.
No, and here's how good it is. Dan Buff and I think we disagree more than we agree. I do.
Yeah.
I mean, we're different generations. We're different kinds of people.
Slightly, yeah.
The fact that both of us think this may be the best movie we've seen this year, that's all you need to know.
Yep.
That says it all.
It's
all right,
still there.
I hand the stage over to you. It's all yours.
Well, this week we have a couple of sequels, and one is good and one is bad. This, we have polar opposites. One is a movie that, okay, this is a worthy sequel, and the other one, I was like, why did they make another one of this movie? So, the first one, let's just go with the funny and hilarious Zombieland Double Tap, basically Zombieland 2. This movie came out 10 years ago. It was kind of a revival for Woody Harrelson, because before this movie, his career was kind of a little bit, not really in the dumps, but he was kind of flailing a little bit. He plays kind of a zombie-killing fanatic. So, in this movie, in the original, you know, the zombie apocalypse takes place and everybody's on their own, and you have Woody Harrelson's character, Jesse Eisenberg, who would go on to play in a Social Network, and he would be the, I guess, Lex Luthor in the new Batman versus Superman film. And you had Emma Stone. This is 10 years ago. This is before she was a big actress. And then you had Abigail Breslin, who was in there. So you had these four characters on the run. And the first film was hilarious. It kind of made fun of Zombieland films. It was kind of a parody where they just had all these outlandish things about the rules of surviving in a zombie apocalypse. You know, limber up, remember to do your cardio, always put a double tap in the zombie, and that's where the sequel gets its name, Zombieland Double Tap. This is essentially just like the first film. It's these four characters that are still on the run, they're still killing zombies, and they still make fun of each other whenever they can. And it's
I don't do any zombie movies.
But this Frank, this upends. This makes fun of all the serious Zombieland movies. This is kind of a very surprisingly smart comedy where it takes everything you don't like about zombie movies and makes fun of it.
So they're basically ripping on like Land of the Dead, Day of the Dead, The Walking Dead, stuff like that.
But would you appreciate it if you don't even know those movies? I don't know any of them. I've never watched a zombie movie.
You would, because in this movie they classify the fat zombie as this is a fatty. He's going to die first. And they have stupid zombies, the ones that just go after anybody. And then they have Terminator zombies. It's just they use all the other movies in this genre to kind of fuel their own script. And Woody Harrelson's hilarious. He plays this Elvis-loving, Dale Earnhardt-worshipping zombie killer. He's like, if my mama told me I'd be good at one thing, it probably was killing zombies.
And that sounds like a perfect part for him because he's so great. Good at that. And Woody Harrelson is a guy who I could not stand up until about 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And I saw him. What was that movie where he's the father and the family living off the grid? You know what I'm talking about?
Glass Castle or something?
Glass House. Yeah.
He was fantastic. Really good. And then I saw him a couple other things. I thought, you know what?
True Detective with Matthew McConaughey.
He
played a bad guy in Out of the Furnace with Christian Bale.
I've always liked Woody Harrelson. White Men Can't Jump, Metro. What are some of the other ones that he did back when?
Remember in White Men Can't Jump? What are you guys playing out here? Ice hockey. We're playing basketball.
He was the gay boss of... Justin Timberlake in that movie with
Friends with Benefits or something.
He's played everything. The best one was the one with Demi Moore and Robert Redford where she slept him for $1 million.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, now Tim, I want to comment on that movie Tim just mentioned. That is a smoking hot movie, and she is as hot. The only movie she's hotter in is Disclosure with Michael Douglas. But here's the problem. That particular movie, I think he was miscast in that movie. He's the only part of the movie that didn't make sense to me, and I'll tell you why. Look at her and look at him. And I just didn't see those two being mad about each other because he's better suited to play a... I don't know how to put this, about anything, though. I can fully disagree. I love the movie, but I didn't like him.
I'm going to back him up.
I totally disagree, and the reason why I disagree is because only somebody who's maybe a little bit borderline nerd, borderline mentally off his rocker a little bit, certainly down on his luck in life, would consider that kind of proposal. And I thought he played all three of those elements perfectly in that movie.
Tim, I will defend you. Just this past weekend, the woman that I would probably leave my wife for, fight six guys for, is single again.
Ooh,
Joan... from Mad Men.
Oh.
No way. She's actually single on the market?
No. And I mean, but
thank you, Jesus.
If you see this picture of her husband.
hey, Limey, you want to call your girlfriend right now and say, see ya? I'm on the way to California.
She was married to this guy. If you could pull up his picture, Jeffrey Aaron. This guy is a doofus. This guy looks like nothing.
Yeah. The only movie I've ever seen... Oh, no, two movies, actually. He was in The Ringer, when he's one of the special...
And then
the
Devil, where he was trapped in the elevator. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This guy, for 10 years, he got to be with Joan.
When I watched Mad Men, I just finished binge-watching it, I was so infatuated with her that I went and looked up her Wikipedia page for IMDb, and
Have you seen her nudes?
I don't know if they're fake or not. I can never tell anymore.
Those are real.
She was a model when she was a teenager before she ever got into acting, and man, wow.
Yeah.
Easy, buddy. Come on, you have a heart attack, Tim. Come on.
This table's starting to tilt.
I have to counter something else Tim just said.
Okay.
He said only a guy like that character would consent or would go along with an offer like that. Not true. When that movie came out, every couple in the country was sitting around going, well, would you for me?
Would you?
And my wife and I, hold on. I'm not Woody Harrelson. my wife even said, she said, well, you know, what if? And I said, what if what? What if Robert Redford came up to me and said, hey, for my answers, yes, if it's okay with you. And she said, I'm in. And that was the end of it, because for, are you kidding, $1 million? Yeah. And so we just both agreed, we're okay with that. Because, look, is there a chance that she would just, in one night, end up wanting to leave me for him?
That's Roy Hobbs, man. Watch out.
I'm just curious.
Yeah, there's a chance. I'll take that. I'm a gambler. I'll take that chance. $1 million? Yeah, you bet. Now, hold on. It also, the reason was yes, because I would never say yeah to $1 million if it's some scuzz bucket, if she wanted to do it with, let me give you an example.
Harvey
here,
Weinstein.
Like Dennis Ryle. Harvey Weinstein, there you go. Because you might catch 100 diseases. Redford? Yeah, go ahead.
Frank, how long had you been married when that movie came out?
25 years.
Exactly. That's apples and pine cones, okay? This is a young couple, madly in love with each other, married.
Good point.
And they're just, goo-goo gaga over each other.
In this movie that they're just recently got together,
yeah,
or married. Okay,
well, yeah,
okay good couple. Point. Let me back point. Up and say, if it happened in our case and we just gotten married, $2 million.
Yeah.
Nice. Price goes up.
Yeah, it was basically.
The older you get, the price goes down. In another 10 years, $100.
Oh, man.
Wow. Man. I'm kidding. $10,000.
It's basically 10, like a stock. It just goes up and down.
Yeah. $10,000. That was such a, every once in a while there's a movie that it comes out and it causes everybody to talk, not just about the movie, but they put themselves. I'll give you another one. That guy who was hiking had to cut his own hand off.
Or 127 hours.
Yeah,
127.
Holy mackerel. How could you not the next day or the next week talk to people who saw it and go, well, what would you do?
I'd still be stuck.
They would find my shriveled, rotted corpse with my hand still. I don't think I could do it.
I mean, could you stay? Could you not pass out?
That's a good point.
I mean, you're cutting through cartilage, and then you're cutting through like maybe some bone and muscle.
Okay, but you don't feel it because the circulation's cut off. Your hand at that point is dead and numb. Nope. But you still have to do it.
I think I'd feel it somehow.
You feel it in psychologically.
Yeah.
You feel it. But that's the point of a. Now in the
would
case
you
of.
Won't you?
Peanut Butter Falcon, there's nothing about that would make people go, well, what if you were out on the run and you ran into a kid with Down syndrome? Nah, not going to happen. But it's still a great movie.
It's a great adventure movie.
How did we get off on the
Woody Harrelson? The Woody Harrelson.
Yeah, that's right.
Who stars in the new Zombieland Double Tap. I will say for this, if there's a rule for sequels, it should be to not forget about what made the first one really good. In this case, it's the humor. It made me laugh. I went into it expecting, okay, it's 10 years later. That's a very late date for a sequel. But the same director came back, the same cast. Even Luke Wilson shows up, which is never a bad idea. And in this one, it's just, I don't know, it's an hour and 30 minutes of laughs. I mean, these characters, sometimes you just want to see characters get back together and go on an adventure. In this one, they go in the White House. And there's a lot of good stuff to do in the White House when it's full of zombies. So I would recommend, I give it 3 ARDs out of 4.
Here they come, right here.
All right, Dean.
Hey. I just thought of an idea for a movie, and it could be sort of a sequel to Indecent Proposal. What if
you've
a situation...
You've had some good ones on this show.
What if a situation were reversed, and some Penelope Cruz says to my wife, hey, I think your husband's really funny, and I'm just attracted to him. I'd like to sleep with him. I'll give you both $1 million. You don't think in a heartbeat we'd both say yes? And my wife would even say, go ahead.
Absolutely.
I mean, if Christina Hendricks came over and said, I'll give you John Hamm, Rachel, if I can have Dan, I think it'd be done. I mean, that'd be the end of our marriage, but she'd run off with John Hamm.
All right, here's our even swap deal that we have, my wife and I. And I can tell you who the two people are.
Can I guess who's her?
Go ahead.
Kevin Costner.
Yeah. Bingo. That's exactly right. And mine is Kelly Riley.
Oh, yeah, from Yellowstone.
Oh, Kelly Clarkson.
You bet. No.
Kelly Clarkson.
Kelly Clarkson. Kelly Riley.
Kelly Chase?
Just watch.
If you're with Kelly Clarkson, that's called group sex. That's like three people.
Just watch the scene where she walks out to the bathtub in front of all the ranchers.
Stop it.
Yeah. Table's filled again.
I would also go with Christina Hendricks. She'd be choice, too. Yeah, and my wife would be okay with that. Costner for her and Christina Hendricks.
Hey, I want to ask Kelly Dan, Riley. You mentioned Luke Wilson.
Yeah.
Who do you like better of the Wilson brothers, Luke or Owen?
You know, they're such different because Owen's hilarious. And he really coined the phrase, wow.
Wow.
And then Luke is better at dramatic roles, but he can also do comedy. That's
if I had to pick, I'd pick Owen Wilson.
I would probably, too.
He's more interesting to me.
If you twist my arm, I think Owen is so good at comedy that I think Luke kind of needs the right movie. I think Owen can just be funny. And, I mean, he was great in Wedding Crashers with Vince Vaughn. He was just so funny in that movie.
This is going to sound weird, but I like the fact that Owen Wilson never fixed his nose. I like that.
It's a crazy.
I mean, think about it. Any other movie star, the first thing they do, and their agent would be like, go get your nose fixed. Not him. It works for him.
Didn't he have some kind of breakdown where he committed suicide?
Yes.
Luke Wilson, his brother was the one that found him before he was about ready to do it.
How did he do it?
He was going to try to slit. I mean, But his brother just happened to find him. It was happen chance.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, he got to a pretty dark place. This is when he was really successful. This tells you when you're down the dumps, money and fame doesn't mean anything.
No, there are a lot of very, very depressed rich people.
Oh, yeah.
What else you got?
Okay, now number two is Maleficent, Mistress of Evil. This is a sequel to a 2014 film. It's a Disney movie, and it has a scary-looking Angelina Jolie and Michelle Pfeiffer, who still manages to be hot. I think she's into her
Michelle
at least
Pfeiffer
50s.
Is a MILF.
Yeah, she's really good. She was in Ant-Man, a couple of the Avengers movies.
Mm-hmm.
And here, it's those two going up against each other. Because Jolie, who plays Maleficent, the evil fairy, who's kind of
Mother Placenta? Is that what you call
Maleficent.
It? Mother Placenta. I thought you said Mother Placenta.
What? No, Maleficent. That is a name.
That's a great name for a movie. Hey, Dan, that'd be a name for your band. Mother Placenta will be playing this Friday.
The old rock house. Jeez. Dan Strauss and the Mother Placentas. What? Wait, there you go. There's Owen Wilson. Wow. But this movie, unlike Zombieland Double Tap, this whole sequel was one where I just spent the whole thing going, what am I watching? It's fairies. It's, you know, supernatural stuff. It's bad CGI. You know, Jolie's character, her daughter wants to marry Michelle Pfeiffer's son, and you know how that's going to go. Two different families, very powerful. It's like a lame kids version of Game of Thrones. It's just not fun watching. That's the whole movie. It's just two kingdoms and two different species fighting against each other because two kids want to get married. No, I mean, it really isn't.
This shouldn't take long.
I mean, you have some great talent. And really, I couldn't stop being haunted by Angelina Jolie's cheekbones. I spent the whole film wanting to go, I need to get this girl to a double cheeseburger. Maybe
why is it called Maleficent? Why is it called
Maleficent?
Maleficent is the name of the Disney character that Angelina Jolie plays. She's like.
Do you remember the movie? What is it? Sleeping Beauty.
Yes.
The evil witch who turns into a dragon at the end. That's Maleficent.
She's kind of like she was a normal woman who was turned into that. But then this movie, they kind of try to make her good. That's one of the things that kind of drives
that's
it bad.
That's what I'd heard.
Just keep it. Just make her a villain. Angelina Jolie can play a good villain.
You're right, though. She needs to eat.
She needs to stop eating kale all day. She needs to have a steak and a ribeye and whatever. But the movie is just kind of a waste of time. It's exactly what a sequel shouldn't be, which is kind of a retread. You've seen it before.
I hear one and a half.
One and a half is where I was at two, and then over the last few, when the movie you kind of marinate for a whole week, you go, that's when the real review comes in. I'd give it a one and a half.
Well, let's do one and a half, and we'll take a call from Jim. Here they come, one and a half.
All right, Dan. All right.
Yeah, very good, Limey. Jim, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Terrific. What do you got?
Well, I'm AM and then PM, first of all.
That's important.
The most important part.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I'm a huge Owen Wilson fan. I always call him the crooked nose guy, but I can't think of his name. But there is a it's an IFC movie. I do not have a clue where you can get it, when it's of him being a serial killer. It's called The Minus Man. Yes, yes, it's slow moving, but I don't care about slow moving if it's good enough. So it's called The Minus Man. It's got Dennis Haybert, the best president the U.S. has ever had.
Pedro Serrano from Major League.
What's that?
Pedro Serrano from Major League. Good old Dennis Haybert.
Oh, that's yes, who that yes. is?
Jobu. Okay. That's Jobu's owner.
Ah.
It's got, I forgot which country. It's got a country star. I forgot his name. Anyway, it's got a cast of pretty famous people.
It's either got to be Tim McGraw or Dwight Yoakam, because both of those guys have been in like two dozen movies each.
I think it's Dwight Yoakam. I think you're right.
And go look sometime under Dwight Yoakam. See how many movies this guy's been? Like 25 movies or something.
He's
and he's good. He's yeah. really good. Yeah, it's called The Minus Man. Why is it called The Minus Man? Do you tell us?
Well, I guess because he's a serial killer. I really don't know exactly why it's named that, but he is a serial killer, and it's I loved it. A buddy I recommended to hated it, but I think it's worth a try if anybody has a couple hours to spare and wants to take a chance on a very different Owen Wilson movie.
Where do we find it?
It was through IFC. What was it? Independent film, whatever. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, the independent film channel.
I don't know.
Yeah,
your movie guy should be able to find it.
I'll find it. I'll look it up.
It is available somewhere. If it's got Owen Wilson and it's not too ancient, it's going to be on some channel, some on demand. You can always find it on demand.
It's 20 years old. It had Jeanine Garofalo was in it.
20 years old?
Yeah.
I must have had the wrong Owen Wilson movie in my mind.
Who's Jeanine Garofalo? Why should I know that?
It was made in 1999.
Jeanine Garofalo, she used to do stand-up comedy, and she turned into an actress, kind of a short brunette.
She did a few movies, a few serious ones, but she did mostly comedies.
Okay.
All right, that's all I got. That's all I want to say. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Minus Man, Owen Wilson. I would check that out.
Yeah.
You know what I didn't mean to watch, but I started and couldn't stop 2 days ago, and I shot a screenshot off the TV to my daughter with just a quick note, and I said, I am watching what I forgot, yet I didn't forget. This is just a reminder. This is the single greatest, most realistic horror movie ever made, and it's The Strangers. I'm not kidding. That movie is the top of my list of horror. When I say horror, I mean believable, could actually happen. I don't mean aliens or something. This movie will scare you to death, and it's got the gorgeous Liv Tyler in
Scott
it.
Scott Tierman.
Is this the one where the phone calls?
No. No, oh, okay. It's these people with masks, these goofy masks, and they're I guess away for the weekend in some little cottage in the woods, and all of a sudden this creepy junk starts happening. It is terrifying. It's great. It's so great. The Strangers. That's it. Back to you, Buffa.
Well, speaking of TV, I have finally gotten into, I finished a series that I had no idea what was going to come on or happen. This is typical Netflix. It's called Living With Yourself. It's got Paul Rudd. It's an 8-episode original series. It's on Netflix. Came on Friday. It's kind of in the vein of Multiplicity with Michael Keaton, where he plays this midlife crisis guy who's kind of down in his luck. Needs
that movie's
kind of a
actually
jump.
Really – that's a good movie.
It is very good. And this movie's kind of like that if it was a little bit more dramatic. So he goes to this spa, quotation marks around the spa, to kind of reinvent himself. And what he doesn't know at the time is that he is being cloned. And his clone, which of course is much better than him at everything, speaks better, smarter, you know, better looking.
Nicer.
And basically the original wakes up. Yeah, that too.
Listen to the limey in the background. nicer.
You know, well, he's also just less depressed. It's like the best possible version of yourself. That's what gets cloned. But what the original does is wake up in a forest slightly buried in a bag. And then he runs home and he goes, wait a minute. You're here. So imagine if you woke up in the middle of the night and ran into yourself in the kitchen. That's what happens in the first episode. It's 8 episodes. It's a little bit of comedy, I would say dark comedy and drama, and it works completely because of Paul Rudd, who I think is so underrated. I know he's played Ant-Man. Mm-hmm. I know he's kind of thought well of, but I still call him underrated because I think he's a guy that can do drama and he can switch it to comedy.
But he's underrated because he's never really, that I've ever seen, done anything just outstanding. I mean, he's given sort of nothing parts.
Well, I mean, there's a great part in I Love You, Ma'am, with Jason, gosh, I'm forgetting his name.
Siegel?
Yeah, Jason Siegel. That's a good role. Of course, he's great as Ant-Man. I mean, that is his movie. He's the guy that makes that work.
He did one movie. I mean, it wasn't outstanding, but I was shocked at how good it was. My Idiot Brother.
Yeah, that was
really
good.
He played that one where he's just kind of just this oafy layabout stoner.
I would almost say that this is kind of his role where everything depends on him. Like Keaton in that movie, Multiplicity, he's playing both roles here, and each character is different. The original guy, Miles, is such a deadbeat. He just hates everything. He kind of mutters to his wife, who's a hot Irish woman. His wife is lovely, and he's just kind of drowning his marriage in depression and dread, and so he clones himself. And one of the best parts for all football fans is when he's parked in front of the spa, he almost pulls away until he sees somebody coming out of the spa. No other than Tom Brady has a cameo in this TV series. Oh, and then he looks at Tom Brady and he goes, "Was it good?" He's like, "Yeah, this is my sixth time."
Brady. So, you mentioned Jason Segel.
Who has not been around for a while.
The big topic now is all this transgender identified. You know, he's got a brother who, this is weird, who identifies as a bird. His brother, Jonathan Livingston.
Thank you, everybody. Just a minute. Diane deserves a word of silence.
I hit the punchline before I even got it. Oh, man.
Thanks, everybody.
Dan, that's just where you sit and go, ho, 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 ho.
Did you want to talk to Diane. Diane, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
Basically, Shannon in the sixth inning.
Great. Listening to you guys, you're having so much fun. I just want to tell you about a movie, and I don't have a lot of details, but I'll tell you how it started, and you all ought to go see it. A number of years ago, my daughter called me and said, "There's a movie you've got to see at Frontenac." And she told me the name of it, and she says, "But it's got subtitles." I said, "Never mind, I don't want to see it." She says, "You have to go see it." We went to see it, and it became our favorite movie. My son-in-law became his favorite movie. He took his father before he passed away to see it, and I actually got him the movie to keep so he'll have one at home. It's called The Intouchables.
Yes, it's fantastic.
You saw it.
Okay, hang on. Hold on here. This better, Diane, be really good, because it's got subtitles, I'm a no-subtitle person, it must be great.
Diane is completely right.
I never go see a subtitle movie. Never, ever. When I saw this movie, I cannot believe when I walked out, my favorite movie.
It was.
And it's called not The Untouchable, just Intouchable?
Intouchables.
Wait a minute. I have to paraphrase something.
Plural?
Now, wait just 1 second.
Yes.
This came out. Wait a minute. This came out a number of years ago.
2012.
Wait just a second. This movie came out a number of years ago, and recently, a year or so ago, they made a remake of it that is without subtitles, different actors, everything.
Called The Upside.
Yes. Thank you. Yes. But you need to see the original. And one day I was at the library, and I was looking for something to watch, and I saw I could get it at the library. I watched
Diane, did you realize that Limey rudely, not even knowing you personally, just made fun of you for the way you say the word library? He just made fun of you, Diane.
I know. I want to ask her a question.
There's a second R in
that word. Do you know where in that word it is?
Yeah.
What?
Pardon?
I'm asking the caller, Slim.
Okay.
Do you know where the second R is in that word?
Yeah, but I have a feeling it's going to end up a joke.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, you want me to spell it?
I want you to say it.
Library.
Okay, thank you.
There we go.
That's how you handle it.
See, Diane, I would never have done to an AM and the PM person what Limey did.
Yeah.
And that is, when you said library, he went, library.
Diane, I am very sorry. It wasn't meant with any malice.
This is a guy that 50 minutes ago told Frank, Frank, Dan Buffer's here.
Hey, I haven't called Buffer before, so it kind of fits.
That's how I pronounce it. It's the accent.
Anyway, I have a
Thanks, Buffalo anyway, man.
Hold on, Diane's talking.
Yeah.
Has anybody actually seen the version that I'm talking about?
Yes, I mean, Untouchables came out actually in 2011. It was, it kind of just came and went, and it came out with like no really marketing or hype. And it stars a couple actors, Omar Sy, who plays kind of like this street hoodlum who gets this job taking care of this very rich art collector.
And you saw it.
Yes, I saw it, and I loved it because it reminded me of movies that my grandmother would take me to see at Frontenac. And she had just passed away when this movie came out. And so when I saw it there, it really reminded me of her. It was a French independent film. It was a very heartfelt movie, and it hit me out of nowhere. I saw it as like a, okay, I'll just see what it's all about. It was an amazing movie, and the subtitles don't distract from the quality.
And,
well, I'm gonna see this. I'm going to see this.
And
for
wasn't
sure.
He a fabulous actor?
He is. He's really good. His name is Francois Cluzet is the French actor's name.
How did you like his reaction? Now, first of all, tell everybody that it's based on a true story.
Based on a true story. I mean, really, these two guys, polar opposites, came together and became friends. I mean, best friends. You have a guy who's from the streets, and you have a guy who is from immense wealth, and the wealthy Frenchman says, he wants this guy to be his servant. He has to take care of him. He dresses him. He feeds him. He takes him everywhere, and they become
friends.
Him?
Does he have to wipe him?
Yeah. They don't show that, but you better believe it.
We say too much, but how did you like the funny part with the mustache and what he did?
Oh, it's so good, because at one point, the art collector grows a very ugly beard. It's just bad, and so they trim it down slowly, and he trims it down to a Hitler mustache and just teases the poor guy, who can't do anything, of course. He's a quadriplegic, so he's sitting in the wheelchair.
Yeah, that's real funny to do things to quadriplegics, and they can't and they can't do anything about it. Go ahead, hit me. Oh, you're quadriplegic.
Well, you have to see the movie.
No, I'm kidding. I'm sure it's great, and it's probably be on DVD. Wouldn't it be on DVD somewhere?
It's available on Amazon.
I rented it at the library. Here we go, library.
There you go, Diane.
Okay, I rented it at the outhouse, and I don't know where else you can get it, but enjoy it. Thanks.
No, I'm going to find it. I'm absolutely. Anybody that tells me they also hate subtitles, but this was that good, I'll watch it.
It's a really good movie. It's on Amazon Prime for $2.99, so
Frank,
it's well
I
worth it.
I think you are going to really enjoy it. I've never seen a movie quite like it.
I just wrote it down, and I wrote, thank you, Diane, and I wrote down $2.99.
Just think of the opposite of The Untouchables.
Untouchables.
The Untouchables.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, I won't forget the name. Thank you, Diane. Thank you, Diane.
And they did remake it last year.
Anyway,
who did?
Diane.
Oh, yeah, I got it, didn't I?
No, just she just
said last one.
Well, I'm an idiot.
But no, they did remake it last year with Bryan Cranston and Kevin Hart called The Upside, which was a good movie. I was really afraid to see that movie because I thought, don't mess with a good French film. But they actually did it well. But The Untouchables, it pales in comparison to that. That's a good movie. Again, it kind of hit me out of nowhere. It came out, at Plaza Frontenac, only at Plaza Frontenac, which will carry movies for weeks. So,
Plaza Frontenac.
I'm from the Plaza
Frontenac. It's the worst.
That's where you go and you see guys with sweaters tied around their necks.
Yeah.
I'd like some real butter on my popcorn.
it's the worst seating of all time.
Do you have the creamy house Italian?
You know what? If nobody's ever been to...
do you have a $20 piece of chocolate I can have before I watch this movie?
If people have never been to either the Chase Park Plaza Theater or the Tivoli or Frontenac, you gotta go, but only go when there's a real, like, artsy film there. This is gonna be a different crowd of people than you normally see. And what's interesting is nobody ever walks out of those films saying, a piece of garbage. I don't get it. No, they have to take the, that was extremely insightful.
Moving.
I loved when the character, the lead character,
changed my life. Like,
yeah. And they're walking out, they're discussing it, and the guy has his sweater over his shoulders tied around his neck. That is a look that disturbs me. I'm sorry.
And then there's the one guy that goes, "That movie was crap. I'm going to the Esquire."
No, there's never that guy.
Yes,
in
there is.
Theaters.
That was me. I left it
Okay. I mean, well, it's me too. I've done it.
I mean, I left it one time. There was a screening. I said that movie was bad. Go watch Paint Dry instead.
And then the Frontenac snoots give you the stink eye.
Oh yeah, the Frontenac snoots.
You must be from the city.
How dare you?
How dare you? You must be from South City. You evil little man.
Yeah. Correct. Hey, we have Jeff. I'd like to get him in here real quick. We only have 2 minutes. Jeff, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
Fine. Quick, AM and FM. It's on Prime. It's the music never stops. Another along the lines of Peanut Butter Falcon, kind of inspirational family drama.
Oh yeah, what's it called? The music never stops. I think is what it's called. Yeah. Sounded familiar.
Yeah,
I never heard of it.
J.K. Rowling. His father, there's a son that
the music
that
never
they're
stops.
Estranged from. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That one came out. That's another one kind of like The Untouchables that came and went. Came out in 2011. J.K. Simmons, who's a great actor, stars in it. Yeah, that's one that I never saw, Jeff, but I think I'm going to have to now that you recommend it. It came out and it kind of left theaters really quickly, but it did look good, and it's about music, so I'm always up for that.
It's very good, and it's inspirational. It really is.
Okay, I'll check it. The music never stops. Thank you, Jeff. And real quickly, one that nobody talks about anymore, and I didn't expect to like it because it's also musical. And Dan, I, Strauss, I told you to watch it, and I hope you did. You probably didn't yet. Whiplash.
I have
so
not.
Good.
No, Dan, let me tell you something. You're in a band. It is so powerful.
Yeah,
and that J.K. Simmons, when it's over, you will hate
He's
the sight of
terrifying.
This guy. He's so horrible. No, I watch him now in a Farmers Insurance commercial, and I want to kill him. Just because of Whiplash. Yeah. Oh, no. It's a great movie and a great performance by both Simmons and what's that kid's
Miles
name?
Teller.
Miles Teller. Yeah.
Is it on Amazon?
It probably is. I mean, it's a recent film.
I'm sure you could find it on demand.
And J.K.
Miles Teller.
Oscar for it.
Miles Teller is one of those kids who tried and tried and tried to break into Hollywood and couldn't get a break until he changed his name. His real name is Miles Bank Vice President.
It's $2.99.
Thank you, everybody.
You didn't realize he told the joke.
Miles Bank Vice President, thank you. Okay, you know how
he
to get on
the
show. You know how to sign off.
I'm Dan Buff. I have had enough of it.
Okay, I think we've had enough of two of me. There you go. Thank you, Dan Strauss, for laughing. And Dan Buff, give me your email just in case somebody goes, ooh, I forgot, what was that movie you mentioned? What's your email address? Dan Buffa, what's your email address?
Buffa82@gmail.com.
Okay, thank you. And Dan is brought to you by Window World, the number one selling replacement window in the United States. The preferred window of the Stanley Cup champion, St. Louis Blues. And now, let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the dentist. Let's all go to the dentist. But not just any dentist. I just wrote a song, Ballast Dental Care. Let's all go to the dentist, Ballast Dental Care. And that's where I would like for you to make one appointment. And that's really not a lot to ask. I'm asking one appointment. If you have a dentist, you'll want to get rid of your dentist. If you don't have a dentist, you will be so glad you found this place, because the reason you don't have a dentist and haven't been for a long time is because you're petrified at the thought of going to the dentist. We are going to eliminate that. We're going to get rid of that. It'll never be in your head again. In fact, and this is a huge statement, but it's true, you'll look forward to your next appointment at Ballast Dental Care. You'll see. I've been going there for 46 years. I don't know what greater qualifications anybody... Where's that music line that I'm supposed to be hearing, but I'm not... Oh, there it is. Okay. I've been going there 46 years, so I'm pretty qualified to talk about this place. Don't have any desire to go anywhere else, and I never dread an appointment. I look forward to it. You will, too. So do this not just for me, but for you, and always tell them that your AM and the PM when you make that appointment. They love to hear that, and we love for them to hear it. Ballast Dental Care, the corner of Ballast and Clayton Roads, ballastdentalcare.com. Please don't go away. There's some good stuff on the way. It's 5 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is 590 The Fan, KFNS Wood River, St. Louis, and 590thefan.com, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio, I'm Brian Shook. The two top Republicans in Congress are both saying they would not use the word lynching to describe what's happening to President Trump. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy both indicated it was a poor word choice. Trump described the impeachment inquiry as a lynching in a tweet this morning. A key witness in the impeachment investigation is testifying that the president wanted a quid pro quo deal with Ukraine. The acting ambassador to Ukraine says an official told him that. This refers to military aid being held up until Ukraine agreed to look into Joe Biden's business deal.